Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here once again for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate and always respectfully. Today we're going to be talking with Mariana Sanchez Castillo. She's an activist, a field organizer with Washington Environmental Council. We're going to find out what an activist does, what Washington Environmental Council is all about, and how what they do impacts us right here in Tacoma. Mariana was born in Mexico City. She still has lots of family there. She did high school in Texas and from there up to Tacoma, Washington, where she got her undergraduate degree from the University of Puget Sound, and amongst other things, anthropology and environmental science. So let's listen in to the conversation with Mariana. We're really happy to have Mariana Sanchez Castillo with us today. She's with the Washington Environmental Council. And Mariana, thank you for coming and welcome.
Thank you, John, for inviting me.
So let's kick right off here. We would like to know a little bit about who you are. So, so tell us who you are.
Okay. So like John said, my name is Mariana. I use she, her, hers pronouns. I'm currently on Duwamish land. I'm 23 years old. I grew up in Mexico City, and I still go back quite often to visit parents, and my sister is there. Also, all of my extended family is in Mexico, mostly Mexico City. So I unexpectedly ended up living in the United States for all of my high school years, first in Texas, then Kansas, then California, and then finally in Tacoma for my 4 years of undergraduate. And I graduated last year in May in the midst of the pandemic with a degree in sociology and anthropology and environmental policy. And now I'm a field organizer with the Washington Environmental Council.
So what does a field organizer do?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have to answer that for my family all the time. A field organizer is, I think of field organizers as like, we do the work that is both very internal and also very external within the organization. So we face publicly a lot of the time with volunteers and with external partners, activists. We also engage in campaigns a lot, like political campaigns. WEC also has a sibling organization called the Washington Conservation Voters. And so we are able to do, as field organizers, we're able to do both policy organizing, meaning like organizing volunteers and activists around policy and decision making, as well as on the political side with the Washington Conservation Voters hat. And we are able to do voter engagement and do phone banking for candidates that we endorse. So we're really out with the public. A lot of times, like the people, like volunteers on the ground, the face that they have for the Washington Environmental Council is the one of the field organizers. And then internally, we do a lot of the work that is like strategic thinking of like how we're gonna engage with activists and with constituents. So right now during the legislative session, a lot of our work was around engaging specific districts to, you know, call them, text them, let them know that there's really incredible policy at the legislature and that they should be engaged and that they should, you know, exercise their advocacy and meet with their legislators. We give them a lot of trainings and tools to be able to do that. So that way our legislators can get to know them and know that the environmental issues that we're advocating for are really important to them, to these constituents too.
So just listening to you talk about what it means to be a field organizer, it sounds like a really broad and lengthy job description. And it does it makes sense that you have this anthropology plus environmental background, because, you know, just knowing the nuts and bolts of environment is just, it just kind of opens the door. It doesn't, it's really the people that make the difference from there, and the skills that have to be brought to bear. I do want to kind of reinforce one of the things you said there is about the legislature being in session and how leveraged we are as citizens, as concerned voters and so on like that. And what, you know, unfortunately, after the legislature's out of session, we just kind of got to wait for the next one to make meaningful legal changes. So certainly get that. So you've made a couple references to Washington Environmental Council, WEC for short. So tell us more about what WEC's mission is.
Yeah, so the Washington Environmental Council, our mission is to protect, restore, and sustain Washington's environment for all. So this is a pretty succinct mission, I would say. It gets at the core of what we're doing in policymaking, as well as engaging with constituents, engaging with different stakeholders, engaging with tribes, as well as like other groups that have been the most impacted by pollution and other environmental issues. And with that, our vision is we imagine thriving communities with clean air and water for all, and building a 21st century economy that improves our health and our environment.
Yeah, so you in the mission, you use the phrase for all. So that seems like a really important point. So could you expand on that a bit? I'm pretty sure this gets over into the area of climate justice, environmental justice, those kind of things. So if you could just, am I right about that? And if so, could you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, you're totally right. So I want to emphasize that our organization has come a long way as a historically white-led organization to recognize our positionality and power within the mainstream environmental movement. Acknowledge, like you're saying, that racial justice is a part of environmental justice. And especially this past year in 2020, we had to reckon with racial injustices and how those are really actually connected to environmental injustice. So we are this year reworking our strategic plan to really center environmental justice more, even though, like you said, our mission for the last 4 years has been to work towards a healthy environment for all, although we have noticed that you have to be specific in your language in order to really uplift that justice part of it. So even though we said we want to be working for a just environment for all, we know that in order to really achieve an equitable and just environment and a 21st century economy, that we have to focus on the people that have been the most marginalized historically and focus on them. And that way, we will all be better.
So in terms of being specific in language, could you give me an example or so of what that actually sounds like?
I would say that naming climate justice as, and sorry, I use climate and environmental justice interchangeably. Naming that as really connected to racial justice is really important, because I think people, your average constituent may not know what environmental justice is, and that it is connected to racial justice, and that it is connected to issues of policing and police brutality. It is connected to issues of tribal sovereignty. It's connected to racist policies that have targeted Black, Indigenous people of color in our state, such as housing policies, and all of these things are connected. And it is really hard to be advocating for something that is so big, but we acknowledge that all of these should be fought like together and acknowledged. So it's hard to be specific in the language when like you have something so big and systemic that you're fighting. But I think that this in the past year and because of like the reckoning with racial injustice, we have to make that connection more clear.
So you use the term systemic, which is a pretty powerful and broad-reaching kind of term. So do you think that the system, the way it is right now, that we can address the kind of things you're talking about by, let's say, more like traditional means within the existing political system? I know this is getting pretty far reaching as a kind of question, but I mean, it's one that I'm asking myself, and I think a lot of people are. So what are your thoughts on that?
I will say, I feel like I want to answer that from like a personal perspective. Okay. I'm not really sure like how much within the Washington Environmental Council, like what that looks like. I'm also pretty new at the Washington Environmental Council. So yeah, I'll answer that from my own perspective. I think that for me, my theory of change is definitely one where we are working within the system, at least at first. So I'm very much of the idea that our theory of change should be driving policy making, should be engaging with politics as well. And if you don't like your senator, if you don't like your representative, vote them out. You should run for office. I like very much feel empowered by the people that I've been seeing running for office and taking over and winning. And that is just super powerful, especially for young people and people of color who are doing that. So I think that like the way forward and the way that we achieve like a just society is with representation, is with really like bold people in power that listen to their constituents and that, you know, realize that where the power lies is with the people. So for me, like thinking of how we're going to achieve like environmental justice, racial justice, economic justice, like it's really about like building a really powerful movement, talking to your communities, like starting locally, but thinking like globally. And that the impact that you're making in your own community will have the ripple effects. So I really focus a lot on like the local work, the state level work. Like we actually have a lot of power within our own state to enact change. And that's been proven true this session. There's a lot of really incredible policies that have now been signed by Governor Inslee that started as groups of activists, like coming out and protesting something, and now there's the bill, you know? So that's really powerful to me.
Yeah, I see that in my own kind of political connection down here in Pierce County. And one of the things that I also see is that most folks underestimate their ability to make things change. And because they do underestimate that, they just sit back and kind of wait for things to happen. I'm just going to throw in a real quick example. We had in the Pierce County Council, there was a Republican majority, and they really kind of stood in the way of a lot of environmental and related things. And a lot of people in Pierce County went to work, and we managed to change one of the seats. And so now the Pierce County Council is got a more progressive environmental bent to it. And, you know, we were thrilled to see that happen. And we do believe that if folks in the, ordinary folks hadn't been raising their voices, that wouldn't happen. So certainly agree with you completely about the power of people, especially if they join together with organizations like WEC or my own organization, Citizens Climate Lobby or 350 or Sunrise. To me, it doesn't make so much difference which organization you join. It's like, okay, join with other people and make some changes happen. So,
Yeah, I really agree with that.
I want to ask you a little bit more about the connection between climate or environmental or social justice, whatever term you want to use, and addressing climate change. So, I think you alluded to the fact that most of the environmental organizations that I know of are really heavily dominated by what I would call white middle class people. And so let's just say you're in the elevator with somebody like that, very concerned about the environment, politically active, but let's just say either confused, unaware, or whatever term you want to use about how their concerns about the climate are related to climate justice or social justice. What would you say to them if you had a couple minutes to talk to them?
Yeah, I would say to listen, to be open enough to attend a meeting hosted by either like their local tribe or their a Black-led group or a working class-led group that is talking about, how they see some of these issues. Because a lot of the connections, like I understand that are very hard to white middle class people to see because they have the privilege to not see them. So I can understand why that would be like a world shifting kind of thing when all that you have taught and all that you've seen in your lived experience is not related to race, not related to your class background, not related to your zip code, like where you went to school, like all of these things. So if you're open enough to attend those and or talk to people who are in those communities in a way that is respectful, in a way that like you show up and you are there not to give your own solutions, but to really listen. I think that you'll learn a lot and you'll and like really be able to then see those connections like in other in other issues. Like I feel like the way like systems thinking and thinking of like the broad dynamics, like then you'll be able to take that into like so many different contexts. But yeah, I think the first step is to be open enough to listen and take that in, and also not respond with like any of the white fragility that is very present in our society. Be open enough to the criticism that doesn't have to be like so personal. About you, but it is systemic. And so even though like you might not consider yourself as part of the issue, like you are because of your positionality and that's the way things are. So opening enough to understand that and not take that as like, okay, this is like individually, like this is my responsibility, but this is like as a whole society we have to change.
Yeah, it seems like listening comes up as a well-advised approach to dealing with relations with people with different experiences or different perspectives, including in the bigger picture of like, let's say folks who are resistant to accepting the science of climate change, that one of the best things to do is to listen and to understand. And I see this climate justice thing. I mean, I find it personally challenging, and I think I can sketch out why I find it personally challenging. It's because, A, I like to think of myself as a good person. I like to think that it's close enough. I like to think of myself as a good person, but when it comes to white privilege and racial equity and things like that, I've got this underlying fear. Maybe I'm not a good person, or maybe there's some aspect of me that is not a good person. And when I go into this environment where I might take some criticism, then that's going to be hard for me to do. It's not because I don't think the criticism is valid. It's just like I have to kind of reassess who I am and how I see the world. And to do that without really quite being clear what the pathway is that I do that. And to be able to do it in a way that's saying, yeah, I got something to learn here, but just because I got something to learn doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. So that's the challenge that I experience. But I'm going to commit to, I have blood relatives who are Native American, by the way, and I'm going to, their grandchildren, I'm going to leverage that into some kind of entree into getting connected with some of the environmentalists in that community so I can start learning from that perspective. So anyway, thanks for, you didn't intend to do it, but you ended up prodding me into something that I might not have done otherwise. So I'm grateful for that. So I got a quote here from the website. This is a WEC. Washington must accelerate an equitable and just transition to clean energy that creates good living wage jobs. So that seems like a pretty ambitious goal. So what are some of your thoughts about how WEC is doing that?
Yeah, that is a really great point. So the Washington Environmental Council created the Climate Alliance for Jobs and Clean Energy. And we have been working in this alliance for quite a few years. It is a really diverse coalition made up of frontline community organizations, labor unions, environmental organizations, faith and healthcare organizations. So it's very broad, very diverse. And people come together in this space to think of ways that we can advocate for policies that will transition us to a clean energy economy that will create a lot of good jobs. Most of these are green jobs, as you would think of them, transitioning fossil fuel workers into our new clean and renewable energy economy. But to me, I also think of these new jobs that will be created as like so broad. Like you can have like people transition into retrofitting buildings. We really have to take care of our building sector, transition it into electric powered. Also like the electric car sector, public transit and infrastructure. There's also going to be a lot of jobs in restoration and conservation of Superfund sites. For example, in Tacoma, we have Superfund sites. So we need people to start taking care of that, start to actually take care of the environment in those really polluted sites. Also taking down fossil fuel facilities. I see a future where fossil fuel workers who once were fossil fuel workers are now transitioning into dismantling physically like that place and gathering different skills to transition into this new economy. Also thinking of jobs for farm workers in organic farms in our state. We have a lot of issues with underpaid, undocumented workers working in our farms in Eastern Washington. There's a lot of environmental issues with pesticides, and that also creates a public health issue. So, yeah, those are all of the examples that will transition us into this new economy that we envision with clean energy and good jobs that will be created from it.
Yeah, just listening to you, one of the it's an exciting idea that we can have good jobs, and those jobs at the same time are moving us towards a better world. I drive by the Tide Flats here in Tacoma several times a week, and I'm just dumbfounded at the mess that we have down there. And of course, when we talk about dismantling some of that mess, there are folks that complain about, well, what about the jobs? And unfortunately, yeah, the people do depend on those jobs, but a lot of those jobs are, for lack of a better term, they're destructive. And the idea of having good paying jobs that make the world a better place seems like a pretty exciting idea. So I'm on board with that. One of the things that I did pick up from your comment there was, though, that we have such a diverse demographic in terms of what we're talking about doing this transition, you know, labor unions, tribes, BIPOC people, the wealthy, the corporations. It does seem pretty challenging, and I'm appreciative that some group like yours is willing to take that on. Let's see, anything going on yet in the legislature that you want to call people's attention to? We got about 2 or 3 minutes left here.
Yeah. So right now, I think all of the attention is on the Clean Fuel Standard. It's a really, really important policy that will help us actually transition into cleaner fuels for our transportation sector. Washington State's largest source of emissions is from our transportation sector. So it's a really important bill, piece of legislation. And right now, it made it out of the Senate, but with some bad amendments, meaning that right now the House and the Senate will have to convene together and look at the way that the bill is written on the House side and the bill is written on the Senate side. And hopefully we can pass it with us in the strongest version possible, removing some of those bad amendments. Yeah, so if people listening have the time, we are always hosting events. We're always hosting text banks or phone banks. We're always sending emails with actions that you can take from your phone or your computer that will take you like 2 minutes to send an email to your representatives, and you will be able to help us out.
Yeah, I really endorse that approach too. I think a lot of people who haven't been connecting with their legislative representative are a little bit intimidated by the idea. And I think also people think, well, I really need to be deeply knowledgeable about this subject to be able to express my opinion. My experience is neither one of those is true. And really, my experience also is that the legislative representatives from my district want to hear from us. I mean, I think they're like, oh, wow, somebody took the time to express their opinion. We saw that also in Pierce County Council recently when they passed the sustainability ordinance. There were a huge number of folks that took a little bit of time to express their opinion. It actually made a big difference. And if you'll send me after the fact a link to some of the outreach stuff that WEC is doing, we'll put that in the show notes, and I'll have more comments about the show notes as after we finish up here. So we are getting close to the end. I wanted to ask you one other quick thing here. There's mention on the WEC website about partnering with business. So a little bit about that, because on the surface of things, it seems like, well, you know, business may not be that willing to partner. So what's going on there?
Yeah. So this is not so much in my direct sphere of work, but I do know that some of the partnerships with businesses are under the Climate Alliance, like I mentioned, the Climate Alliance for Jobs and Clean Energy. So there, those partnerships are to, you know, gain support on some of the policies that will impact businesses, try to connect with them and tell them how this will be overall a good policy and how it will impact them and hopefully gain their support.
Yeah, cool. Well, I wanted to, I should have asked you this up in the very front part, but you went to UPS. So where do you call home these days?
Yeah, that's a good question. I will say I call Washington home. Yeah, I was living in Tacoma for all of college. I really love Tacoma. I still do a lot of organizing in Tacoma. I'm one of the leaders with Sunrise Tacoma, and also with my job with WEC, I do a lot of the organizing in the Tacoma area. But that being said, I'm physically in Seattle now.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll call you a semi-homie here in Tacoma. So cool. Well, we are close to the end here. Anything else that you want to bring up that we haven't talked about here in the last couple of minutes?
Yeah, I think the last thing specifically for your listeners, since I'm pretty sure a lot of them are Tacoma residents and Pierce County residents, there are really incredible activists doing really great stuff in Tacoma. Like I said, I'm a part of some of the groups, but right now some of the biggest challenges in Tacoma that really need some help are the work against fossil fuel expansion in the Tide Flats. So right now there is the Planning Commission has recommended really strong non-interim regulations for the Tide Flats, which is a lot of like words for just saying that they would ban the expansion of new fossil fuel projects, of new and expansions of fossil fuel projects in the Tide Flats. So that is happening right now this spring. So if you have the time to attend a city council meeting in Tacoma and talk about why that's really important, just saying like, "Hi, I'm a resident and I don't want to see more expansion of fossil fuels in the Tide Flats because of pollution, because it's in tribal land and tribes were not consulted about the expansion of fossil fuels in their land." So it's a really important issue. I just wanted to bring it up.
Okay, yeah, and I certainly agree with that. And I'll add one more thing, and that is if those fossil fuel facilities are built there, they've got a useful life of 30 to 50 years or something like that. And the people that own them are going to be fighting tooth and nail to keep them in operation for those 30 or 50 years. Mariana, it's been wonderful to have you with us. I'm really appreciative of the work that you and WEC are doing, and also happy that you decided to make a home up here in the Pacific Northwest. You're a wonderful asset, and thanks for all you do.
Thank you so much, John. It was great to be here.
So there you have it. I gotta say, I'm grateful for the young men and women of Mariana's age and generation, and the energy and the idealism and the practicality that they bring to their concerns for the future of our planet. So great talking to Mariana and catching up with all that she and Washington Environmental Council are doing. There will be links in the show notes regarding some of the work that she referred to. You can find those show notes at ccltacoma.org. And while we're on that subject, I'd love to receive an email from you anytime. My email address is John, JOHN, at ccltacoma.org. The CCL part stands for Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. Check it out at ccltacoma.org. And coming up, May 22, save that date on your calendar. I'm going to be hosting a four-hour climate intensive in person in Tacoma on May 22. You can get details about that at climate411 at ccltacoma.org. That's climate411 at ccltacoma.org. This is going to be in person, and it's going to be open to folks who have received their series of COVID inoculations, a chance to meet in person and to catch up on all the good stuff and the not so good stuff too, as far as that goes regarding climate change, especially around here in Tacoma, the Pacific Northwest. So that's it for today. Thanks for listening in. John Doherty reminding you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care now.